So pick and pop about a different subject. I think we've done four so far. Division III basketball, sacrificing for college recruiting, social media.
Bench behavior.
Yeah, so four. Yeah. So this is the fifth installment of the Pick and Pop on the PSB podcast. And this one is going to be based around a subject that comes up all the time, but specifically came up yesterday. Pro Skills sent out a new blog post called 10 Signs of a Crazy Sports Parent or Crazy Basketball Parent. And it went out to our email list, and I wrote it. And we got a few responses back in, some like loving it, but then there was a couple, and they all had a similar theme, and that theme was referees.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, I'll just read what they said. So one reply came in and said, just wondering if you are now going to put out an email letting people know when they are a crazy or bad coach or referee. Probably not.
They said probably not?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's wrong.
Yes.
I will do that. Next guy said, I think we get it, but when will you send us information on what to do or how to, it cut off, how to something for the most part, I don't think it represents any of our children or parents. Anyway, that one was about the refs too. Oh, I think it was how to approach referees,
yeah,
or handle bad referees is what he was asking. That was a little bit more of a respectful one. But it was just interesting to me that a couple of the responses that came back specifically were about bad refereeing or poor quality refereeing.
You think they're using, if they read that 10 signs you're a crazy basketball parent and they checked off six or seven, that the referees were their reasoning for why they checked off six or seven?
Probably.
Yeah.
one of the things, you can find the blog, the crazy sports parent, it was really crazy basketball parent, on the blog, and it was like semi-joking, but, serious still. And one of the things was was about refs. Are you screaming and yelling at the refs during the games? Like that, yeah. And my point in the blog was, like, if you have one or two or three of these things, like, you're pretty normal.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have six or seven of them, you're a little bit crazy. And if you have 10 of them, like, man, you're like LeVar Ball style.
Yeah.
But it was just so shocking. I don't know why I'm shocked by it. I couldn't believe that the messages were coming back about referees and that people were so down on them.
Well, that's their reasoning for why they act crazy, is because it's not their fault they act crazy. It's the referee's fault because the referees are so bad. And from a referee's perspective, it's not their fault that they're bad referees. The parents are all over their case. They don't like it. So it's,
yeah.
I think it's just a situation. There's no communication between fans and refs. And
yeah,
somehow within the basketball world, we've created this culture of, like, the referees are the enemy. Even before the game starts, it's like, we don't like referees. So in essence, they're referees are no. How does a referee go out and do his job and be like, that was a successful game for me? How do you judge that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how they judge it, really. But what I do know is that it's like, I mean, I do know that there's a big kind of crisis, in air quotes, in youth sports, not only in basketball, is that there's a real shortage of referees.
Yeah.
And the reason that everyone's saying is that there's a shortage of referees is because the refs don't want to take the berating anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That they're, like, the increase in the abuse they've been getting from parents and coaches over the last number of years has caused more and more refs to be like, screw this, I'm going to stop. Or even young ones to be like, I'm not even going to get into it anymore. So there's, like, there's an actual shortage of refs out there. And to me, it comes from emails like this. Like, people, like, the blog post wasn't even about refs. It was about being a crazy basketball parent, yet people are complaining about refs in response to that. And I'm like, to me, I look at it and I'm like, you're the reason the refs are bad, is because there's, like, a lot of the quality officials are like, there's not, it's like supply and demand. There's no supply. So, like, tournaments and other things have to hire maybe low quality or less experienced refs to do these things because no one wants to deal with your abuse from the sidelines.
Yeah. I talked with a guy in the Charlotte area who he's a referee booking agent. And we talked about this extensively. I interviewed him for one of my other podcasts, and he was saying it's almost like a vicious cycle because he's saying one thing that's contributing to the lack of numbers of referees is, yes, referees are getting tired of being berated, taking the abuse for such little pay, but also the fact that youth sports is becoming so much more popular. So what's happening is, like, youth sports are becoming so much more popular that, like, and there's not that many referees. The supply is not keeping up with the demand. So what ends up happening is a booking agent like him, he's got to put a referee on a game just to cover it who maybe doesn't have the level of experience. So what happens is that referee with not the level of experience comes out, gets berated by parents, doesn't want to do it anymore, and it's just like this vicious cycle of, like...
I never thought about it that way with the rise of youth sports. Yeah. And then, so there's, yeah.
And he says it too. He's like, you know, I get so many requests for games that I, you know, I only have so many top officials that I can assign to games that, you know, what happens with somebody when they come to me and they say, hey, I need you to cover this game for me. He's like, I got to send somebody that I might not otherwise put out there. And then what happens?
Yeah. And
he's poor. Referees are bad. Referees are terrible. Parents are upset. And
tournament operators would rather have a low quality official cover that game, then cancel that game altogether and not be able to, like, function.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's giving kids a chance to play.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, comes back, I mean, you know, it comes to the point where I think in some ways, and there are people, a lot of people out there that take advantage of it, but in some ways, you know, the rap for, you know, gate entry fees, people coming into the tournaments to watch and having to pay, and sometimes people have to pay for park, you know, whatever it is, paying the tournament entry fee, but, like, we've run tournaments before, and we know that you're not just rolling in money once a tournament is over. Like, it costs a lot to rent space, and it costs
a
lot to hire referees and hire scorekeepers, and all. There's so many expenses, and referees don't get paid that much.
No.
If you're covering a youth AAU game in the spring or summer,
$25 a game.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's not going to attract. I mean, sometimes it does. Sometimes referees just love it. But also, too, like, that turns a lot of people away.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to go out there and get berated for
$20. Yeah, and most of them, it's not their full-time job. Like, this is, like, a side job where they can make a little extra money. I mean, I find very few. I think I only know one official who does it because he absolutely loves it. Like, he loves officiating for some reason. But, like, I think most of these guys are just like, man, I need to or want to earn a little extra money. So they come out, earn $20-$25 per game, you know, maybe make $100 extra, whatever it is, and that, and, like, maybe they need that money, so, like, that that's just their way to work for it, which is very respectable, like, you know, to take on a second job to help pay bills, whatever it is, and they come out there and just get screamed at and abused by parents and coach. I mean, coaches are actually I think it starts with the coach. Typically is the coach. If the coach goes crazy, loses it, screaming, yelling, just totally, you know, being like emotionally immature, now the parents see that, they think it's okay, we're gonna follow the coach, now they start screaming, yelling, just not being able to handle it, and next thing you know, then what happens, then the players get involved. I mean, sometimes I'm just like, gosh almighty, I feel bad for these refs.
And I think it's a, you know, when you really sit back and look at it, like, these guys aren't trained that well, you know? So to put them out there in an environment that's really, it's, you know, it's high intensity. And I think if parents and coaches would take the time to talk with these referees, I think there's just a divide in, like, communication. Like, parents automatically think that refs are against them if they make a call against them. Like, if you spent time talking to a lot of these officials, like, you would understand, like, they're people just like you, and they're, this line of work that they're doing is mistake prone. Nobody's going out there and call every single foul, call every single travel, and not call close plays. I mean, it's fast.
It's all judgment.
Yeah, and you're going to make mistakes. And I think if parents and coaches would actually talk to officials, like, as people, but I also think it works the other way. It's an official's job to communicate with coaches and players beforehand. Say, like, hey, look, I'm going to do my best. Like, I mean, do you think any referees are out there trying to cheat people?
No, it's ridiculous that, like, parents would think, like, oh, the referee cheated us. Like, he came into the game saying, you know what? I don't like the look of this seventh grade team. I don't like the look of their parents. You know, like, I'm going to screw them.
Yeah.
They don't care. They, all they, that the best thing for them would be to blow their whistle a few times, have zero impact on the game, mm-hmm. no one say anything to them, they make their $25 and then they leave. Like, they don't come in to purposely cheat a team or make bad calls because they know it's going to blow back on them, and that's like, no one wants that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think it but we haven't talked about the flip side. It's like, so when you watch a game, do you ever get mad at refs, or like what upsets you when you watch a game and you're like, God, this ref is really bad?
Yeah, that's true. There is one thing, mainly one thing, that I will get upset with a referee on, it, and that is like a lack of effort. Not like effort to blow the, like, I'm talking about like if there's a fast break and he or she doesn't make an effort to even cross half court, mm-hmm. or like the guys that won't make the effort and then they'll be like three-quarter court behind and make a call mm-hmm. under a basket that's like, you know, 50, 60 feet away.
Yeah. Or they won't communicate with you as a coach, or they'll make a call and they'll be like, and you can't really, they'll blow their whistle and you can't really tell what the call is. So, I mean, yeah. I think you know, a lot of the miscommunication, like the blame for the miscommunication is spread around to, you know, referees can help themselves better. Parents and coaches can help themselves by understanding, like, hey, these people are human. They're doing a job. They're not going to be perfect. Go in with the expectation. If you're going to a fifth or sixth grade, fourth grade, anything, a high school summer basketball tournament, you can expect that the referees are not going to be perfect, and prepare yourself for that. But on the flip side of that is, like, referees can help themselves by making sure that they're engaged, making sure that they're making calls with some intensity, some emotion behind it, and communicating.
But I mean, if I had to guess, I mean, maybe 5% of referees, or even if it's 10% at the youth level, are kind of those ones that don't give their maximum effort, uh-huh. that maybe, you know, don't try, again, air quotes, as hard as they can. But like, you know, what about the other 90% or 95% who do try? And yeah, they make some mistakes here and mm-hmm. there. Like, that is on coaches and parents. I just feel like...
Or people like you and me as club directors, too.
Yes. Adults is what I'm trying mm-hmm. to say.
Yeah.
The other adults in the building that aren't reffing. Like, you've got to be able to have enough emotional maturity to sit back and say, hey, you know what? He's making some bad calls. She's making some bad calls. That was a terrible call. That was, you know, they blew that call. Yeah. Sit back, relax, understand that it's all going to be okay. This is not like life or death. It's not the end of the world. And that they are, secondly on that, they are a human being. Like, it's not okay for you to sit there and scream and yell and berate them and abuse them because they made a couple bad calls.
When do you think that started? When did it become, has it been a sports thing forever?
I think it's always happened, because I mean, I hear stories about it, and I think you see videos and things. Like, it's happened for a while, but that's a great point that your buddy brought up about the rise of youth sports. Mm-hmm. So there's just more opportunity, plus the rise of social media and that sort of stuff. So maybe it's, you know, it's just getting amplified a little bit and on a larger scale. Although I don't know, man, part of me does think that, like, adults nowadays, including me and you, and, you know, like, and maybe this is just, again, the rise of youth sports, is like, there just seems to be a real lack of, like, awareness and emotional maturity out there. Like, I love the example. I heard it from you the first time I ever heard it, was like, you don't walk into a Starbucks and if the barista makes your coffee or whatever order it is the wrong way, you don't like start yelling at them and berating them. You know, some people might, but like, again, okay, that's clearly, but like, for the most part, people sit there and would be like, that's like inappropriate. That's not mm-hmm. the right way to handle it. And so, yeah, like, you don't do that in normal life. It seems like it's just relegated to certain industries, like youth sports. Yeah. Like, I don't know if there's another industry like that, but sports is definitely the one where it's.
And like, how do you think sports? How can we combat that? And I think, like I told you before, is like, how can you establish a line of communication between? How can you have parents understand that, you know, these guys are human, they're going to make mistakes, be prepared to experience some bad calls? And how can you have referees understand, like, hey man, for the most part, these people are understanding. They just want to see you make effort on. They just want to see effort. They want to see you running the court. They want to see you making calls. They want to see you, you know, communicating with coaches, like putting effort behind it. Like, I think both sides can help themselves, and they're not doing any. No one's doing anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, do you think it could? I mean, tournament directors, booking agents. I think they should be the ones responsible for communicating that with the refs. Hey, run the court hard. Be loud with your calls and emphatic with them. Mm-hmm. Also, but talk to the coaches. Talk to the parents if you need a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, maybe there could be something as simple as like the refs could introduce themselves to the parents before the game.
Yeah.
Definitely to the coaches, which normally happens, definitely to the players, but maybe, you know, they say hi to the parents and like, hey, I'm a real human being.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to try my best, but I don't know.
That happened in a league that we took part in here a few years ago, and it's something we haven't even mentioned that blew me away. Is that like, if you find yourself yelling at a referee sometime during the game, like, you better make sure that what you're yelling about is correct. Because the referee was like, you know, we get everybody yelling in the game about backcourt violations. And then he asked us coaches, he's like, you guys tell me which one of these is a backcourt violation. And he demonstrated three things, and I was kind of like, oh, man, I'm not really sure. Yeah, and he was like, most people don't know this. He's like, they're going to sit back and scream and yell at us about it, but they don't know the rules of what constitutes a backcourt.
Because that one was like specifically about like both feet
and the ball. Both feet and the ball, yeah.
But then on the if it's backcourt, only one thing has to go.
Yeah, but like both feet, both 2 feet and the ball have to establish front court in the front court. You know,
yeah.
Get over half court line. Then if one goes back, then it's back court. But a lot of people in the games, he said, like, you know, we'll see one kid put 1 foot over half court and then bring it back and dribble, and everyone's yelling at us for back court. Yeah. So my general point is like, I think there's a lot of people out there that don't know the small, detailed rules of basketball like they think they do. They watch it on TV and they're going to come out and yell at a ref when you're yelling is not right.
Well, that's the other part of it too, right? Like, it is the education piece, like the, you know, parents I think need to understand that these guys are, they might not
or
be
fans, I mean, just
yeah, fans
thing, yeah.
They might not be pros, but they're like, you know, they probably know more than you about the rules,
had more training,
and actually, like, you know, the thing I love, I think that's awesome, is like when we have, I remember the first time I had to ref was I think when I was in college and went back to a summer camp and I had to ref some games. Like, it is a hard job. It's really difficult. So, like, do not scream and yell at a ref unless you've been a ref before and seen how hard it is. And if you've done that, the chances are you're probably not going to be screaming and yelling because you're like, man, I know how hard it is. Like,
that's hard.
That's a difficult thing.
And, yeah, going through the training and experiencing that firsthand, but then, you know, it can't be, I feel like a lot of fans come out, even, you know, you go to a college game, it's like any call that goes against my team, I'm up in arms about. The whole crowd's going to yell and boo and scream, and I just think it's just a fascinating thing that, like, I don't know, when you sit back, like, I'm a fan of basketball, when I watch, I'm rooting for a team, like, yeah, it was a good call, he traveled.
Yeah.
But for some people, any call that goes against their team is just bad.
Yeah, well, I do think that's kind of led to the problem too, especially with coaches berating refs, is they watch TV and they see these college coaches like Coach K or something screaming and yelling at the refs.
See that? I don't like that. I think it sets a really bad precedent for basketball because these coaches are doing it for a reason. These referees are human beings. They are susceptible to pressure. And you know, like, my brother's a college coach, like he says all the time, is like, referees are under a lot of pressure. Have you ever thought about that sometimes, you know, in a game, if you're a referee and you're calling a foul on your, and this one team is holding every single time, you call a hold, foul, like, at some point you'd be like, I just got to stop calling it. Otherwise, every single play, and coaches know that and they take advantage of it. So it's like, hey, we're gonna set illegal screens like every single time on the court. A referee might call it once or twice, but he's going to let most of it go, which I think is unfortunate. Like, some coaches have learned how to, like, in some ways,
manipulate the system.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no, I don't agree with that, of course. Like, I don't think at any level you should be berating the refs or, you know, but at the college level, specifically, you see it, and specifically with some of the more big time coaches who are a little bit more animated and maybe have a little more leeway to do it. Well, like, you know, I think there's a bunch of youth basketball coaches around the country's sitting there watching these games and are like, oh, look, he's going crazy and screaming at this ref. Like, he's a great coach. Yeah. That's what I need to
That's what coaches are supposed to do.
That's what great coaches do. Like, they scream at refs and make sure, and they stick up for their teams and this and that.
Yeah.
And so I do think that's had, like, a pretty profound impact. I actually wish the NCAA, kind of like the NBA did, put more, not a zero tolerance policy, but kind of went closer to a zero tolerance policy in terms of like, hey, we're not like, you are not going to be screaming and yelling at me all game. Like, and if you do, warning, you do it again, T, you do it again, T, you're gone.
Yeah.
And
but like, that's the problem is like these coaches know that like, you're Coach K, like they're not going to kick me out of a game. Yeah.
If the NCAA
and if you do once, it's not going to happen to me two games in a row. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's again, it's the referees are put in such a crazy difficult position sometimes by coaches on purpose because they know that these referees, like, nobody wants to watch a game. It's not good for basketball for a referee to come out there and call an illegal screen on every single play. Coaches know that.
Yeah.
So that they know the ref's not going to call it every single game or every single time down, so they continue to do it.
There's so many reactions and judgments in a single basketball game where the referee has to make these like mini judgment calls throughout the game. There's so many opportunities for them to screw up and make a bad call compared to, I think, normal jobs.
Yeah.
But like, imagine like for parents and coaches and just adults out there who seem to be okay with abusing officials. Imagine someone coming to your job and the whole entire time you were on the job doing whatever it is you do, someone was watching, and every time you screwed up, like, they screamed at you. And now, like, times multiply that by 100 because there's way more opportunities during a sports game for a ref to make the wrong call or make the, and imagine, like, I mean, parents and adults and coaches, like, put yourself in the shoes of a referee and actually think about their job and think about how that would make you feel at your job.
Can you imagine who wants to be a ref?
I don't. I absolutely don't.
No,
who could like, not pay me enough.
Who wants to go out and just, I mean, I guess you love basketball and I guess you like, it does come with like a level like of, you feel like you have some power and control, but at the same time, man, that just, you I don't know how you, what makes you successful?
It's one of those tough jobs, man. There's some jobs out there that are real thankless jobs. That's just like, it's almost the nature of the beast a little bit. But I really think that adults, non-referee adults, need to just, you know, they need to have some more maturity about themselves and be able to see the big picture. I mean, what a great opportunity for these young kids to learn how to handle adversity, how to handle some tough calls. Every single game, there's an opportunity. Like, when something goes against you or you don't agree with something that happened, are you gonna, as a young player, are you gonna throw a fit and cry and whine and yell at the ref? Just like in life, when something happens, you know, are you gonna be negative about it? Or are you gonna learn to handle those bad calls with grace and kind of brushing them off, forgetting about them, moving on to the next play? That's what we talk about all the time. Like, that stuff translates to life, where something happens in life that, you know, is not great from your perspective. Like, you're gonna learn to handle that the right way, and you can learn to handle that through sports. Or you're gonna learn the opposite. You're gonna see your coach, you're gonna see mom and dad in the stands screaming, yelling, crying, and that's how you're gonna learn. Oh, that's the appropriate adult response to a negative situation. Okay, take that off the court, to school, wherever it is, and now I'm going to handle that any problems that arrive in that same way mommy and daddy and coach handled it negatively.
Do you think it's gotten worse over like the last couple of years?
Yes.
I have a hard time watching NBA games now because I feel like every time the whistle blows, somebody is complaining about something.
Yeah.
A coach, a player, NBA guys, like, I think the NBA guys are ruthless with their referees.
This might be a different topic for another day, but you know, why do you think that is? Do you think it has something to do with the social media aspect where you can, you know, and the access to information we have? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it makes it's like just creates that like grass is always greener type of scenario all the time. I don't know.
I think it stems from like these coaches finally figuring out like putting pressure on the referees will eventually get me calls.
How'd they figure it out though?
I mean, referees are humans. I mean, like they know that if they keep complaining, eventually a referee is going to give me a good call.
But you're saying they didn't know that in like.
Oh, the 70s, I mean, maybe they did, but it's just like I feel like it's a trend that's sort of. And I could be completely wrong. This is just maybe as I got older, I've noticed it more. But I feel like people are complaining to referee coaches and players in particular are complaining about officials more and more now because they think that, I mean, it's almost proven. The more you complain, the more likely you are to get a call somewhere along the line because that referee feels that pressure of you complaining. And I think about how tough-skinned you have to be to, like, hear somebody complaining.
And just ignore it.
And just ignore it and not let it affect your judgment.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But I guess one thing I will say in the defense of adults who are sometimes complain about referees, and one argument, I think the second email I had mentioned this is like, if it creates some sort of unsafe environment, well, yeah, of course, if it's an unsafe environment, then that's a terrible situation and that ref should not, be there, be reffing. But again, it comes back to be an adult. Okay, you have an adult coach, you have adult parents. If it is truly unsafe, the coach should take his team and not play anymore that game. And I'm not saying like march off the court and protest, but peacefully, kindly, gently, gather your team. Let the other team know, like, your decision. And this should not be any sort of excuse for if you're losing or if you're upset. But, like, if you truly think the kids are in danger, yes, take them off the court. It's not worth it then. Or mom and dad, come down from the stands. Talk to the coach. Let them know how you
feel. Someone's going to get hurt.
Yeah, but this should be coming from a place of thoughtfulness and not anger and emotion and, oh, this ref is screwing us. Someone's going to get hurt. You know what I mean? It should be like, man, I don't know if this ref really knows what he's doing. He doesn't seem to be making the right calls. Like, it's getting really too physical. Some kids have gotten hurt. Like, it's dangerous.
Taking emotion out of the equation.
We should not probably be playing in this game anymore. Okay, I'm going to take my team off the court. It should be from a calm, thoughtful place, not a angry, emotional, like, reaction to whatever it is.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I just think it's like going back to what I said. I think if you want to, like, if you feel you need to place blame, I think everybody can do their part in changing this culture of it's referees versus fans.
Well, speaking of changing the culture, so I mean, I heard a couple of interesting things this past weekend. I was in Chicago for the Junior NBA Flagship Network meetings, and one of the things that consistently comes up in the meetings is this subject. How do we improve the quality of refereeing and thereby, create a bigger pool of referees? Mm-hmm. And there's a few facility owners on that network. There's only 15 of us, but good amount are facilities where their whole business is tournaments and leagues, and so they rely heavily on refs. And one of them brought up that they have been advised by their, and it's really hard, I think people out there should know, it's really, really difficult to make the financials work on a facility with just the amount of power and water and the construction costs. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to that's why all these facilities go out of business, is because it's so hard to keep them open. So what this facility guy brought up is, like, one facility person brought up, man, like, can we train referees in-house? Can we train our own referees? Can the Junior NBA help us train referees? Mm-hmm. And another facility guy said, I love the idea, but we've been advised by our accountant and lawyers that if we start training referees, they now become employees of our facility. And now, boom, we get hit with extra taxes. There's all these laws that now, instead of 1099 contractors, so then you get into this legal mess where they want to train referees, but they can't because they cannot afford it. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I think a lot of people, like the people that email and might say these types of things, or just they don't understand the financials of it all or the legal consequences of certain things. We're like, yeah, training your own refs would be amazing.
Yeah.
But they can't financially afford to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and if going back to the financials, if refs got paid more, you'd probably have a larger pool of people
for sure
wanting to jump on board and wanting to do it. But, you know, it's just the financials of everything. I mean, makes a huge difference. If the facilities, like, you know, everybody wants to play in the nicest facility and have the best coach in the world with great refs and comfortable bleachers and park right next to the entrance and not pay anything for it. And it's just not.
Yeah. It costs money.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it all costs money. Another topic for another day, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
What are your last thoughts on?
Yeah. Just, I'm going to say it again. Like just if people can figure out a way to increase communication between referees and fans. And again, I really feel like if a fan could just talk with a ref and go over some rules and respectfully communicate and create a culture of respect between fans and coaches and referees, like, I think it'd be much, much different.
Yeah. Well, you're coming out. Are you coming out with a podcast?
I'm still working on it. I'm still trying. I did interview the booking agent here in Charlotte, and he had some really interesting things to say. So I have that interview just kind of looking to piece.
You're trying to do a hoop for thought on youth refereeing.
Yep.
Okay, awesome. Well, yeah, my final thoughts are just, I mean, parents and coaches, like, have a bit more emotional maturity, a bit more of a broad view of the whole thing. And, oh, my gosh, man. If people could just be a bit more emotional mature about everything, handle the situation the right way, your kids would learn so much more. They would learn how to handle things off the court. In life, I think they would be able to handle negative situations a lot more appropriately. So use it as a learning lesson. It's fine. Deal with the fact that there's some tough refereeing out there, some bad referees out there, but use that as a learning lesson for your kids, for your children, and that way they can implement those things, what they've learned off the court, and be a bit more successful.
That's a great point.
All right.
That wraps it up. Pick and pop referees. Thanks.